The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Inside the Huddle wrap-up show for Indiana and Iowa. Indiana fell on Saturday 35-27. They just did not do enough on offense and defense to get the job done. They were plagued by drops and one big play by Iowa, but it was more of a death by a thousand cuts type of way. We will be joined by our co-host today, Nick Holmes. He's filling in for TJ Inman, who is pulling daddy duty this evening. So we wish him luck in getting his child to bed. And we'll get it kicked off there. Nick will join us here in a few minutes. So initial thoughts from Iowa was, coming in, I thought Iowa was a good team. I didn't really think they were a top 10 team, but it was a winnable game for IU, I believe, but Iowa showed why they're deserving of that number 9 ranking, and we'll see. Nick, welcome to the show. First time, co-hosting. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Sammy?
I'm doing great. Filling in for TJ, who's pulling daddy duty, so nothing's wrong with that.
I don't know if I'm going to be filling in. I don't feel quite adequate to co-host, but I'll do my best to substitute.
Well, Nick, I started off talking a little bit about the Iowa game. We talked about it on Periscope after the game. Today at the press conference, Wilson said it was a pretty well-played game. I think it was evenly played if you go by the stats. It was a bad day for Nate Sudfeld to have a bad day, and it was a bad day for the receivers to drop balls. There were a lot of throws that were open that either the throw was a little off or the receiver dropped the ball. Is that something you saw as well, Nick?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It was just a really unfortunate time for him not to play one of his, even a moderately successful game. He was off on some throws. There was a one where one of our tight ends was running down the seam, and it looked catchable, but then if you watch the replay, and we mentioned it, Corsaro, he would have gotten blasted. Almost like when Peyton Manning used to hang out to dry Dallas Clark. So there's some similarities there, but you're right. It was a little frustrating just to see that the running game was on a level that it hadn't been since Howard was fully healthy 4 weeks ago. And then, the kicking game was strong. Coach Wilson mentioned it today. Toth had, I don't know, you're more into the special teams than I am, but probably one of his better games as a Hoosier. And then, Oaks was 2 for 2, had a few touchbacks. So overall, those areas of the game were fine. And once again, the defense, we've kind of said this all year, just do enough to give your offense a chance to win. And they still gave up 35 points. One was that early touchdown on the second play of the game, which, they've been susceptible to that. We saw it against Ohio State, and we saw it on Saturday. And that's unfortunate to give up those plays. But then in the very next series on defense, IU comes out and stops Iowa 3 and out. So the defense looked better than it had definitely against Michigan State or Rutgers for that matter. And if they can replicate that over the next 3 weeks, the season's not over. 6 wins are still attainable. Michigan is beatable. They've been beat twice this year, so you can't count them out. If the defense can just give you that same level of intensity, it would be nice to see them start forcing some turnovers again. It's been a while since they've had multiple turnover games. So, yeah, that was just kind of what I saw overall.
Yeah, you're right, and I mentioned this to you after that, you know, first Toth punt was, I thought they got a little conservative. It was a great punt by Toth that was fair caught at the 5. I guess it's a trend now to fair catch punts inside your 10. It used to be that you just let it bounce and see where it lands. But, you know, Toth had a great day. He downed 2 inside the 20. There were no touchbacks, which has always been his bugaboo on those kind of coffin corner kicks, is that, you know, he kind of puts too much leg into it and kicks it in the end zone. But on Saturday, he did a very, very good job at doing that. And then Iowa went 95 yards down and scored a touchdown. So, you know, I told you right then I wouldn't punt the rest of the day. I would just try and get first downs and get some points and put it on your offense. It was great to see the run game going well. They got Jordan Howard going. He pulled himself out there, I think, on IU's last field goal to make it 21-20 in the red zone there. But I think he was a little banged up, and I know Iowa fans were questioning his toughness, but he ran for 174 yards on a defense that gave up less than 100 yards of rushing a game, and he scored 2 touchdowns on them. And there's no reason. This Jordan Howard is a very tough football player. And, you know, he pulled himself out. He had run the ball a couple of times. And you know what? It's up to IU's backups to fill in that hole for a couple plays. But, you know, most concerning, I think, was the play of Sudfeld going into Michigan. He just did not look sharp against Iowa. You know, I asked him today, was it, you know, what happened? He said there were correctable issues. And that seems to be good. I don't think he would tell me, you know, hey, you know, I stunk and it's not correctable. You know, and if he did, you probably might not want to start him next week. But, you know, his play, the team goes as Sudfeld goes. And if he can't get the offense into a rhythm, then, you know, you're sliding back into last year's offense where you're hoping you could break a few big runs, but having Sudfeld play on point and having Jordan Howard back to 100% or as close to 100% as you could get him, it would do wonders. Now, Michigan coming up is a very tough team. The 2 losses, you said they lost twice. Like, the 2 losses, one was a road game against Utah, and Rudock threw a couple picks and a pick 6, and the other one was, man, they shouldn't. They had it in the bag. They punted, and you all know the play. Michigan State took it back. So those are about as close of 2 losses as you can get to an undefeated season as probably there is. So they are a very good team. They are coached by a crazy man in Jim Harbaugh. Like, he might be certifiably insane, but they're very well coached.
I'm fine with that. He's always been one of my favorites in the college landscape. And, you know, I became kind of like a part-time 49er fan when he was out in San Francisco. And, yeah, I mean, he is crazy. He's intense. And he gets people to respond to that. I mean, obviously, Stanford was always successful. 49ers got within the brink of winning a Super Bowl one year. So, I mean, I'm surprised that Michigan has turned around this quickly. But maybe we shouldn't be. Just based on his track record as a coach, and then his comment about, I believe it was red meat or steak is a natural steroid. So, yeah, maybe he's onto something up there. Maybe they eat steak for every meal.
Yeah, he says he has steak every day. But it's steak, whole milk, and sleep. There was something else in there as a 4th one that were natural steroids. He's also throwing the world's greatest coaching clinic with his brother. Sometime in the off season. So it'll be interesting him coming in. He's an Indianapolis favorite. He played for the Colts. He was captain comeback in 1995. He broke my heart as a Jets fan that year. But, you know, Indiana will have their work cut out for them. Iowa is a similar type of defense, very physical, very aggressive. And maybe this is the – I'm not calling a win here, but – you know, this is the end of a brutal stretch for IU where, you know, if they had beat Rutgers, you know, you could live with you could live with these three losses, but losing to Rutgers, you're facing a six-game losing streak going into those final two games, which are very winnable. But anytime you lose six games, it's got to be tough on you mentally and mentally draining. And even talking to Marcus Oliver today, if you didn't see it on Periscope, you know, he's sick of losing. And, you know, I think his key to turning it around was getting these younger guys to get sick of losing as well and having, you know, an attitude change. And, you know, something that I pointed out to you in the game as well is, you know, these fans are sick of losing, but, you know, they just go. And you saw it, and, you know, I almost made the announced attendance my number of the game for this game. I think the announced attendance was 44,700 and something. Correct me if I'm wrong, Nick. there must have been a lot of invisible people who went to the game, because there might have been 18,000 people by the start of the second half, and even less at the start of the fourth quarter. Now, if you're an athletic director and you're sitting in your box, and I don't know how he gets the numbers, but you have to think that it's kind of embarrassing when you're athletic department is announcing 44,000 for that kind of crowd. So what are your thoughts on the crowd?
You know, I can understand, you know, and I was speaking to an IU fan today just about, it's kind of like a rinse, wash, repeat sort of thing. We've kind of seen this play out a few times, and I think it's hard to, you know, constantly build up your excitement and then, you know, kind of watch it fall apart in the fourth quarter. But there were years where IU wasn't even in the game in the second half. So there's really no excuse not to want to come back in the second half. You've got another top 10 team on the ropes late in the third quarter. If that doesn't get you excited as a football fan, maybe you're not a football fan to begin with. But, yeah, it's frustrating to see from the box. You and I, we've been to I don't know how many IU football games before we started covering IU football. And I would imagine as a player looking up, seeing half your fans there come out after halftime, after a first half that was, you know, you're only down 4 points to an undefeated, likely the Big Ten West champion team. You're only down 4 points, and you had a bad call against you heading into halftime. So it's not like, you know, you were giving up too many points. I don't know. It's definitely frustrating from probably a player's perspective for sure. And then from Fred Glass's perspective, I mean, what can you do to build up more excitement for your program? And the quick answer is, well, win games. But it's probably, I mean, I imagine it's pretty difficult to win games when the Iowa fans are considerably louder. And you could hear it up in the press box with me that they were considerably louder than the IU fans in attendance. And they probably were only half the amount of people in attendance at that point.
Yeah, and you know, that's something that stuck out was, you know, IU went down 8, and on the kick, there's a big Let's Go Hawks chant. And usually, you know, when that happens in the stadium, an opposing stadium, the home crowd starts chanting, "Let's go home team," or just boos and drowns out the away team, and that did not happen. And that's something that, you know, we'll talk more about in the offseason, about the state of the program. And it's too early to write this season off right now, you know, saying that, you know, three quarters of the way through. But there are two games at the end of the season that are winnable games. Now, if they go and, you know, they lose to Michigan and lose to Maryland, that ultimate goal of a bowl game is most likely over. Yeah, they can go to a bowl game at 5 wins. But you're looking at a 7-game losing streak, going 4-7 and heading up into West Lafayette, where, you know, they'd love nothing more than to keep the Hoosiers from a 5th win at a potential bowl berth and get that bucket back for the first time since 2012. So,
or
you know, we'll go into
that matter.
Yeah, or even a 6th win. So, you know, it's getting to a critical point in time for Indiana football, but and we'll touch on it later. Nick, what are some of the positives that came out of the Iowa game? Wilson mentioned that You know, this is the first time probably all year that all three phases played decently at the same time. Now, you didn't have the passing game, and the defense lit up 35 points, but they responded well, and, you know, when the defense got the ball back, you know, the offense made some plays. It wasn't the case the entire game, but, you know, was that something that you sensed as well?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like we said, Chose had a great game. I really tight ends were always an area that, you know, were somewhat underutilized the last few years, and Cooper made some nice plays. You've pointed that out to me up in the press box, just how great of a game that he was having. And then he had that late touchdown grab, which made things considerably more interesting. And then, like we mentioned, Griffin Oaks had a great game. And then that onside kick was just inches away from Covington's mitts, where that could have been recovered, whether IU marches down the field and gets eight. You know, who's to say they do or they don't. But, yeah, I mean, overall, there was a lot of positive takeaways. I mean, it's been like this kind of every other week. You know, you can pick out 5 to 7 things that you say, yeah, this is really encouraging. But, I mean, one area that I thought was really encouraging, and we've talked about a lot this year, is just penalties and inopportune times. And they only got hit with 3 penalties on Saturday night, which I thought was a lot better. And it's not that they weren't playing aggressive. They obviously were, you know, I remember Brown, Andre Brown and Tatan Smith got in at one point, and they were, you know, a little chippy. Now, the questionable call against T.J. Simmons, which Coach Wilson said that was the right call. That was one of the plays that stuck out for the day that obviously kept their drive going there in the second quarter. It would have been a 3rd and 7, and otherwise it became a 1st down. But, yeah, there was a lot of great things that could be garnered from that performance. I thought Devine Redding played well in moments. He was, I think he had 45 yards on 9 carries. So, you know, that's nothing to take lightly, a 5 yard per carry. I don't know. What was kind of some of the other big things that you kind of took away, and what are some of the areas that you really thought really need to be shored up for IU to have a chance against Michigan this week?
Well, to me, the game totally changed on the T.J. Simmons ejection. Now, whether you think it was the right call, which, you know, Wilson said, but it's so he wouldn't get fined and suspended.
Mm-hmm.
But the game totally changed there. IU had gone up, I believe, 17-14. The place actually had some life in it. The defense, you know, at 3rd and 7, yeah, they had given up some of their third down conversions, but IU was on a 14-0 run, and who knows? If you get a stop there, you get the ball back, I think IU goes down and scores, and you go and take either a 6 or 10-point lead into halftime, and it totally changes the tenure of the game. Plus, you have your most veteran linebacker out there. He's, I believe, 2nd on the team in tackles, but he had a monster game at Michigan State, and you lost your leader, your vocal leader, and the guy who calls the defense for the linebackers out there. So that, to me, turned the entire game around. I don't think it was a dirty hit. The guy, it wasn't targeting. He did not launch into a defenseless player. The receiver kind of dove into the tackle a little bit, took the shot to the head. And, you know, he wobbled off, and I don't want to say he wasn't concussed. If he was concussed, mm-hmm. why is he back playing? But he was back
yep.
in the second half. He made some terrific plays there in the second half. So, you know, I don't know what to make of that. That, to me, was the, you know, turning point of the game. Some things that IU does need to shore up, you know, getting pressure on the quarterback, and that's going to be key for next week against Rudock. They had no sacks. They forced 0 turnovers. And I think they did have 5 tackles for a loss, but they went
yep.
7 yards. So
yeah.
that's, you know, that's not a good average for yards per tackle for loss. They need to get to the quarterback like they were at the beginning of the season. You might not sack them, but you could force them into bad throws, which helps your corners and your defensive backs. And really, you know, when you have a guy in the backfield, take him down for a loss of four or five. Don't let him escape a tackle and get back only for a loss of one, because we've seen how that has worked out in your third down conversion. So, you know, get after the quarterback. Play aggressive. You pointed out, Nick, we saw several blitzes where they came 3 or 4 or 5 seconds early. And, you know, when we're calling it up in the box, you know for sure that C.J. Beathard and the offensive staff for Iowa knows exactly what's coming as well.
Yeah. I mean, it was a little frustrating to watch because you could almost see, you know, there was just no disguise at all, and you would say, oh, well, the nickel's coming or the corner's coming, or, and maybe it's just a timing issue, but I would almost prefer to be a little bit late as opposed to, you know, showing your hand, because, I mean, that gives a quarterback plenty of opportunity to say, all right, well, we got, you know, field corner or boundary corner coming, and so that was a little frustrating to see. It was meant back on the T.J. Simmons in the Smith injury. Someone in the stands had reported to me that on Smith's way out of the game at that point, one of the assistant coaches or one of his teammates, I'm not sure, just smacked him on the side of the helmet. So if he was concussed, I'm not sure that would probably be the best treatment, another smack upside the helmet. But, you know, I'm not a medical professional, so I'm not entirely certain. But, yeah, getting pressure on the quarterback, like you said, is – and Wilson talked about it today in the press conference I heard. I listened to the video. It's at times it's been okay, like the Wake Forest game. It was great. You know, I thought, well, they finally got it figured out. Now, we knew going in that Wake Forest had a pretty weak offensive line, and so that wouldn't be your typical performance. But you would like to think you could at least get some adequate pressure. Beathard looked – really pretty decent. I mean, he's been good all year, but he really was able to step up in the pocket and make plays that I really hadn't seen him make. And I haven't watched a ton of Iowa this year. One play that we haven't talked about was where he dove into the end zone, and it looked like the ball got jarred loose prior to breaking the plane. What did you think about that?
Well, you know, it's going to start a whole discussion on replay. Yeah. Which will take more than the 8 minutes we have left. But I thought the ball, the call in the field was a touchdown. I thought the ball was jarred out before it crossed the line from one view. From the other views, you couldn't tell. But they had one definitive view that showed that the ball was out. I believe it would have given IU the ball with the touchback. I think it went out of bounds of the end zone, and that's that rule. Otherwise, it just would have been down at the one. Or the half-inch line. But that, you know, if you're going to have replay, at least get the calls right, you know, and have it definitive. If you have an angle that shows you that the ball's out, then it's a fumble. And, you know, Indiana's been on the wrong side of those calls all the time. Too many times to count. There were times against Iowa, I think it was in the 2009 season when IU had him on the road, another undefeated Iowa team, and the replay ref blew several calls in that game, and Iowa ended up coming back and winning. You know, you saw the referees in the Duke-Miami game couldn't get it right on the replay. So, you know, that play again changed the game. But look, IU's not getting the breaks. They didn't get the break with T.J. Simmons. They didn't get the break with the fumble, and it was still a one-score game. So even with almost everything going against them, and that's not the reason they lost with those two plays, but IU's right there. And it is so frustrating as a fan, and I get it because I'm a fan as well. It's, you know, everybody wants to win, and it's so frustrating. And maybe the process is going to take longer than 5 years. And everybody's opinions on it will change. And I know I've flip-flopped back and forth on it, even still to like 10 minutes ago. But, you know, it's something something's got to give at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, you take the number one team to the brink. You take Michigan State to about the 53rd minute in the game on the road where you're not totally healthy, and then you take, you know, number 9 Iowa all the way to the end too. So like we've both said, would IU in past years be in this position? I can definitively say no, they would not be in, based on, you know, historical performance against top-tier teams. We don't need to think too far back to think of the 83-20 shellacking we got at the hands of Wisconsin. To recall that there are a lot of times IU was not in games where they were playing against the Blue Bloods, so you have it in the Big Ten. So they're encouraging signs that you're playing to this level. Is it a depth issue? And Coach Wilson mentioned, is it physically, is it mentally? What's holding this team back? And I think, you know, part of, from my perspective, is, and you're a baseball guy, you need a closer. You need a closer in all sports. You need somebody you can turn to and say, I need a first down. I need a forced turnover. I need something to ignite a spark. And that seems to be lacking at times with this team. I thought we might have had it with Jordan Howard early in the season when they were, you know, running some time off the clock. I think it was against Western Kentucky when they had that long drive to end the game. And
yep.
I think that's what they need. They need someone to step up in those critical moments. It doesn't matter if they're on offense or defense. Just someone needs to step up and make some plays in the most critical last 10 minutes of the game. Because we see it all the time with other schools. So I don't know who it is, but if you get two or three guys and say, all right, this is when the lights are shining the brightest, it's time for me to make a play. It's time for me to get a sack. It's time for me to force a fumble. And Marcus Oliver, you know, I mean, he's forced quite a few fumbles. Maybe get one of those in the fourth quarter. I know that fumbles aren't the easiest things to generate, but you know what I'm saying? You just need somebody to step up in those final moments of the game and say, all right, I'm going to make my team win.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And, you know, you even see it in the NFL. How many times have we watched Patriots games where it's, you know, the third and seven, and the Patriots are up by 4 points, and they need a first down to ice the game, and Brady hits Edelman just out of nowhere for 7 yards, and it's a first down, and the game's over. And, you know, that didn't happen for IU. They dropped the ball on Saturday in those situations, and somebody on the defense, and Marcus Oliver is a terrific leader, and you can tell that he cares, and it's not an effort thing. It's somebody needs to step up. It's a confidence thing. Somebody needs to step up, says, you know what, you're not getting a first down, and I'm going to do my darndest. Now, they can't go out of their minds and just try and do it on themselves. You have to do your job and do your job well. And that's something Wilson alluded to in his press conference as well, is stay in the confines. I think Norm might have said it, was stay in the confines of the defense. And don't try and make a huge play. Don't try and do somebody else's job. Just do your job and do it well, and we'll be okay. Trust your teammates. Trust the defensive system. And it's not the system. It's not the scheme. Because IU's been in the position to make plays. Now it's time, as you said, somebody needs to step up and make a play.
Yep. No, I mean, they're right there. But, you know, they have another big opportunity this weekend, another 3:30 game. This is the first time in all the years that I've been an IU fan, watched IU football, and there's not a noon home game. And I think that's encouraging, too. You're getting more primetime exposure. Now you need to take advantage of it, win these games. And, you know, that's going to boost recruiting. Just a small recruiting note, Colin Miller, outside linebacker out of Fishers, he decommitted from Purdue this afternoon. He was always a pretty soft commit. And it looks like IU, along with Syracuse and a couple other schools, will be in the mix. So keep an eye on that.
Yeah, and that was big news, is reported by Pete DiPremio when I saw it on Twitter. And that's something, you know, IU's, they got to win a game just to help out with recruiting. Now, you know, being on ESPN and ABC and ESPN2 and having these 3:30 games gives them a lot of pull in out-of-state recruits. Now, they're recruiting a lot of guys down south, and we both talk to them, and these are kids that might not get the Big Ten Network down there. But you know what? Mm-hmm. They get ESPN, ESPN2, and ABC – and that IU game is on. And you know what? It might not be the best game on TV, but it's in that block of channels to where you're sitting on your couch and you hit guide and it's a commercial in Florida State Clemson. Oh, hey, Indiana and Iowa's playing. Let's see if they're playing in commercial. And you see the score on the bottom line, and it says, oh, it, upset alert and whatever. So people flip to that, whereas, you know, people outside of Big Ten country cannot find the Big Ten network, and it's not in the same grouping as those channels. And I think that does make a big difference.
If anything, IU football games have certainly been entertaining this year.
Yes, that is true. They've been in every game for the most part. Penn State, they got a little out of it there in the second half. But, you know, they're in games and they're losing close. And that's part of the progression to becoming a good program. Anyway, Nick, we're out of time. Hopefully you can join us on Wednesday for our pregame show for Michigan. Thanks for joining us today and filling in for TJ. You did awesome.
Hey, thanks, man. I definitely appreciate you having me on.
Anytime. That's Nick Holmes, writer for Hoosier Huddle. He does a lot of great stuff with recruiting, with numbers, covering games, keeping me entertained in the press box so I don't annoy other people. Anyway, we'll be back on Wednesday. Time is to be determined. It might be in the morning, it might be in the evening, but tune in. We'll break down Indiana, Michigan. It's senior day. We will be talking to some seniors on the team tomorrow. So, you know, download us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter. It's at Hoosier_Huddle. Follow us on Facebook and, it's HoosierHuddle.com. Anyway, have a pleasant Monday night. Stay dry if you're in Indiana and it's raining. Other than that, we'll see you on Wednesday.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.